something is sudden. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message, The Legal and Vital Aspect of Christ.
Hallelujah. You make confession with your mouth. What does he mean by confession? He's not talking about confessing your sins. No, he's talking about speaking the same thing in consent with God. Homologia. It means saying the same thing in agreement with God. That's what it means. Okay? Confession is made. With my mouth, I say the same thing with God. What God has said, I say whatever I'm going to say that is in consonance, in agreement with him. So God has said, so I say what he has said that works for me. So he says, with the mouth, confession is made and results in salvation. You see, confession makes the vital aspect produce results. Confession is made with the mouth. See, legally, I'm saved because Jesus died for everybody. But I'm never going to experience that salvation until I declare with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. You see, if you will confess Jesus as your Lord. Why? Because the Bible tells us this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, God has made Lord. Hallelujah. Savior of the world. This Jesus has been made Lord. So I say, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. When I make that confession in agreement with God, he says, with the mouth, confession is made and catapults you into salvation. So you see something that's spiritual. Salvation is spiritual. But I can't see it. I can't understand it. I can't touch it. It's not tangible to me. But when I declare Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, believing that God raised him from the dead, he says salvation becomes real. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Because I believe. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It's a principle. You've got to believe and confess with your mouth. Believe it with your heart and confess with your mouth. Your heart and your mouth must go together. Your heart and your mouth. Your heart and your mouth. Believe with your heart. Confess with your mouth. Hallelujah. So the legal aspect is fulfilled by my acknowledgement. But the vital aspect becomes real when I confess it, when I confess it, when I confess it. Hallelujah. I believe and I say it. My heart and my mouth must agree. They must agree. Hallelujah. They must agree. So you find people who don't know what they even believe. And they're struggling with their mouth. They're saying it, but they're not. They don't have it in their hearts. It doesn't work. It fails. Then some believe it in their heart, but they're not ready to say it with their mouth. I've helped some people come into salvation. They've been supposed to be Christians for a long time. But they just never could experience the Christian life. I said, are you born again? No. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, of course. I said, I know. I know you believe. So why are you not born again? I don't know. I know why you're not born again. Oh, you do? Yes. And I can help you. Okay? So we go. I show them this verse. You see, you believe in Jesus Christ. Yes. But have you ever declared Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? Not really. But you see, in their general, ordinary, casual discussion, they talk about Jesus being Lord and Jesus being great and Jesus being good and Jesus being the Son of God. But that's not the same thing as proclaiming Jesus as Lord of your life in a personal way. And there I get them. You've never really declared the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. Well, not really. Not really. I said, okay, that's what you're going to do now. That's the reason you haven't experienced salvation. Because when you say it with your mouth, you will experience it. Really? I said, yeah. So let's go. Say what you already believe. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And they go, I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I declare that he's Lord of my life. And I receive salvation. I receive eternal life. They say, I receive eternal life. And then, just in a few seconds, and their eyes light up. Light up. Tell me, what do you think? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Some of them are pastors today. Yeah. That was how simple it was. They hadn't done the right thing. They had been praying. Then going back into their sins and asking for forgiveness and falling back into... I said, no, all you need is the Lordship of Jesus. If Jesus becomes Lord of your life, he will guide you. He will lead you. He doesn't have a right to lead you until he's Lord of your life. They don't know that. Why should he guide you? How many of you take care of your neighbor's children without your neighbor's authority? Do you get it? You can't just walk in and say, I take care of children. Any children in that house, please come. God's not trying to take care of everybody's kids. He's taking care of his kids. For everyone else, he calls them. An invitation. Receive salvation. And when you do, you receive a new life and you come into a new family. Glory to God. Yeah. You've got to declare him as Lord of your life. When you declare him as Lord of your life, he becomes Lord over everything that belongs to you. Hallelujah. Lord over your business. Lord over your finances. And that's one of the things that some people are afraid. They are so scared of God becoming Lord of their finances. Oh, my goodness. They think that if God becomes Lord of their finances, he might just say, bring everything. They think, Lord, you know how many years I've worked so hard? If God takes away my finances, I don't know if I have enough faith to start again. Let me tell you something. Oh, I love God. Gloria, gloria. You know what he told the children of Israel in their preparation for the year of Jubilee? And he said to them, he said, on the seventh year is Sabbath. So, there's no sowing. You're not going to be sowing anything. Eighth year is celebration, which means no sowing. So, he said, now if you're thinking, what are we going to do? How are we going to eat? No sowing in the seventh year. Eighth year we are celebrating. God said, you know what? He said, on the sixth year, I will give you 3 years' harvest. Can you imagine? Which means your crop will produce for 3 years. Harvest for 3 years. Three times as much. So you're going to have enough. Your barns will be filled. Now, only God can talk like that. Only God can talk like that. You see, before today, through science, we have increase the quality of our production. All right? I mean, there are crops that used to produce one per vine, one, each one for each seed, and now they've been made to multiply, and one can produce maybe as much as 10. True science. God already started doing this a long time ago. He already knew how to do it. He said, on the sixth year, he says, I will bless your crop, and you will have 3 years' harvest. So that the next, he says, by the time you will need to, by the time this will be finishing, you already have the other ones grown up for harvest. So there's no loss. Then he said another beautiful thing, very challenging thing, lovely, lovely. He says, all the men must go to Jerusalem 3 times every year, actually. He said, 3 times every year. They must all go to Jerusalem for worship. Then he said, I will be with you, and no adversary will come into your land. He says, don't be afraid to go. So no one will come into your land to possess your land. He says, I'll take care of it for you. And in all those many years, as long as they obey God, nothing like that happened. You say, well, that's Old Testament. What about New Testament? Think about New Testament. He said to Paul, Jesus Christ appeared to him in Corinth. He said, Paul, be not afraid. Hold not your peace. Preach. I've got many people in this city. Then he said, no one will set his hand upon you to hurt you. Oh, boy. He says, no one. No one will set his hand on you to hurt you. He says, be not afraid, hold not thy peace.
The Leveled Radio app is rightly designed to entertain, inspire, inform, motivate, and add color to your everyday life. We've got the best of everything on radio, the best music, the best of inspiring messages, the best talk shows, and the best of wholesome content. The Leveled Radio app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you tuned in and locked on, giving you an amazing user experience all day, every day. Waste no time. Download the Leveled Radio app from your app store, and you will be glad you did, because we are the best of the best in radio entertainment. Wherever you are, whatever you speak, C-Tunes brings the gospel to you from English to Swahili, French to Arabic, Spanish to Hindi, Portuguese to Mandarin. The message of faith and salvation is breaking barriers. With C-Tunes, you gain access to over 250 Leveled Radio stations like Leveled Radio Iran, Leveled Radio Ukraine, Leveled Radio South Africa, Leveled Greece, and many more. Participate in every global ministry program in the language you best understand. Stay connected with motivational podcasts from our inspiring on-air personalities, and enjoy music that uplifts, inspires, and energizes. Log on to www.ctunes.org or download the app from the Leveled App Store. For further inquiries, please call +234-813-180-9663.
This is the continuation of the message, The Legal and Vital Aspect of Christ.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at this now. So he says, the vital aspect of salvation is based on our confession, right? Mm-hmm. I got more to show you. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Okay, let's look at something. I say to people, God's word is either true or is lying to us. Is he lying to us? Can we trust him? Okay, let's look at something here. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh, oh God, worketh, hallelujah. He's telling us what is happening in us now. God is working in me. Glory to God. So I can tell anybody, watch out, watch out. God is working in me. God! Look at it. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He makes me willing. He makes me able to do. Look, I'm not only willing, I do. God is working in me. So, you see, when I was coming to church today, because God made me willing. You see, I can understand it. I can understand it. I can love you because God makes me love you. God works in me. He works in me. He's at work in me every day. For it is God which worketh. Not who used to work. He's doing it now. God worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'm ministering to you now. What's happening? God is working in me. And he's bringing you information. He's bringing you enlightenment. He's bringing you blessings from his word. God is doing something in your life. Come on, somebody, say hallelujah. Amazing. See, that makes me a champion. Because God is working in me. Makes you a champion. God's working in you, both to will and to do. The Bible says, the Spirit of God set me. This is Ezekiel now. Ezekiel says, the Spirit of God set me upon my feet. He's saying when I stood up, it was God who made me stand up. Can you know that God is working in you? Do you just find yourself just doing things? Oh, God is working in you. I'm not an ordinary person. You see, the vital aspect. Look at, put that scripture back up there. See, it helps you understand who you are. I told you, it is activated by your confession. The vital aspect is activated by your confession. When you declare it, you activate it. And then you find that it is real in your life. Real in your life. You stop living the ordinary life. You start living the God life. Wow, God is at work in me. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Look at me. God's working in me. And you know, you stick with the word, you'll come back with a testimony. Yeah, you come back with a testimony. You make up your mind. See, God wants to work in you continually. That's what he wants to do, both to will and to do. See, someone says, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing. It's not enough to be willing. What about the doing? Some people are willing. They say, if I had it, I'll do it. Really? Really? Why is God doing half through you then? He's supposed to work in you to will and to do. Not just to will, but to will and to do. So not to will only, but to do also. So you say, God is working in me. So from where you are, you take your next steps. Your next steps. Watching God at work in you. God is at work in me. Making me willing and able to do. He makes me to will and to do. To will and to do. Okay, so If God is working in me, that means he's in me. Let's look at something. Again, I say, this is either true or false. All right? It can be both ways. It's either true or false. Colossians chapter 1. From verse 26, we'll read. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Read the rest of it. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Please, mark that thing. Christ in you. Which is Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. Brother, does that mean Christ is in you? Is that true? Which one? Which Christ could this be? Do you mean the Christ of the Bible? The one of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You can't be serious. Christ in you? Do you mean the same Christ? How could this be? Christ is in you? No. Let me explain something to you. This verse I'm reading to you in 1985, I spent several days, about 2 weeks, every day, meditating on just this verse. I would lie down on my bed, and I'll repeat the words again and again and again. I was trying to capture its reality. I was trying to understand it. I wanted it to soak into my spirit. And every day I'll be walking around thinking, Christ in me. Christ in me. Christ in me. I wanted to get it. Is this true? Christ in me. I'll go and lie down on my bed in the afternoon time, and I'm thinking, Christ in me. Christ in me. Every day, every day, every day. The day I talk to you about meditation, I'll tell you the result of that. But this is divine reality. Christ in you is not a religious cliche. We just say it. Christ is in me. As carelessly as that? No wonder. No wonder we've got these fevers. No wonder we take up with the malaria. No wonder we take up with all these things. But it's Christ in me. Do you know what that means? Didn't you read the rest of it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That means... glory is promised me with Christ. If Christ is in me, then glory lost becomes glory found. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Christ in me, the hope of glory. Glory was lost by sin. Glory has been found in Christ. How can my life remain the same? It's not possible.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.